You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned in to New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message,
as the Lord allows, guys, we're back in our study here in this book of 1 John. And by way of review, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 18. Some verses that we've already looked at and have looked through and studied through, and we'll pick it back up as well. Chapter 3, and that should be page 1063 if you're using a pew Bible. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. If you're with me, please say amen. And the Word of God says this in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And we know, we saw this last week as well, that John is talking about God's type of love, his sacrificial love, his love that he bestowed on us when he sent his son to die in our stead. And look, in the Greek word or Hebrew word, it would be agape. And it's a love that gives just because it is necessary, is needed, not looking for anything to come back. What we know, and we said last week, the worldly kind of love, the eros love, that, oh, I love you, you look so lovely, and even the friendship kind of love, where a phileo love, where we get the word Philadelphia, and listen, we know that the worldly kind of love, it will sometimes, or many times, it'll dissipate, it'll go away. And look, we hear of couples that say, look, we've fallen out of love with each other. But with God's kind of love, he never falls out of love. In fact, it gets stronger as you walk and talk with the Lord. The longer you're in him, it gets stronger and stronger, and overrides any other kind of love, because it's a love that gives for the sake of the need of someone else and not looking to get something back for yourself. He says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by the way, that type of love you will always see. You don't necessarily have to hear it, but you will see it in the actions in others. Verse 19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And he's talking about not before our mates or not before our friends, but assure our hearts before God. And by the way, it's by our love one for another, not so much that we're saying it, but it's showing in our actions and how we work and how we live on this earth. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And listen, you look at that verse, and it's not real hard to interpret, but a wee bit, depending on how you look at it. But guys, there are times in our lives, and we said this last week as well, when there might be some doubts in regard to where you are in Christ, maybe because something happened and God didn't come quick enough, that you begin to doubt him or question him. And what the verse is saying is that, look, even when we have doubts, God's love, because of his spirit that lives inside your heart, it's not going to run for the hills. It's not going to leave you alone. It's going to tighten up and even bless you that much more. There's been some times in my life where I felt some doubt that were creeping in, and maybe my faith was not where it should be, and God would send some dear saint my way and would say a word and say something, a word of encouragement. And man, just with that word, God knew exactly what I needed. It would embrace his spirit that lives in my heart, and it would re-initialize the love that God has for me and put me back on the street called straight, and would erase those doubts. And we all have them sometimes. But God says, I love you forever. And not only that, I'm going to prove that I love you. Hallelujah. Forever. He says, for if our heart condemns us, verse 20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then, he says, have we confidence toward God? And listen, our love toward the brethren proves that we had the love of God who has given us his love, and we're able to shed it abroad and even to love folk that might not be so lovely, because God loved us one day and we weren't so lovely ourselves. And because God has blessed our hearts with his love, we're able to love others in a godly type of love. And by the way, our walk will show who it is that we really belong to. We don't have to always say it, but our walk will show that we belong to the true and living God through his son, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we shall receive of him, because it says we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing." Look what the verse says, "in his sight." And look, we're doing it not so that I look good to you, but I'm doing it because it's right, number one. Number two, God has given me a commandment, and I'm going to be obedient to that commandment. And listen, as long as it's scripturally born and it's true, I have no problem doing it. And I might not always can see the end from the beginning, but I know that if God says go there, I need to go there, and I need to do what he's calling me to do. And by the way, what he's calling you to do as well. You might not can't always see the finished picture or how this thing is going to end, but if God says do it, we simply do it in obedience to him, knowing that he's the author and finisher of our faith. There are times, sometimes there are some folk that I minister to, and I don't always want to, because they're a little rough on me. They're a little hard to minister to, and sometimes my phone will ring and I'll see a certain name come up, and I'll look at that name and I'll say, man, I really don't feel like dealing with them today. And God will touch my heart, and his spirit will touch my heart and say, yeah, I never asked you what you feel like doing. They need you to talk to them, answer that phone or call them back, and give them what I've given you. And what it is that he's given me is God's love, and I give that to them as well. And guys, it always works out. Look, even though some folk are hard to deal with, God has sent them to me for a purpose. Sent them to you for a purpose, because you're the one that he's called to be able to deal with them, to be able to minister to them. And listen, that's your congregation, that's my congregation, and so minister to them we will. He says in verse 23, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on his name," or believe on the name, 23 again, "that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ." And look, that's first and foremost. That's how we got in. And he goes on, "and love one another as he gave us commandments." And again, obedience. Oh, hallelujah. That's the title of this sermon series, is so much better than sacrifice. There are folk that want to give their money, they want to send their money, but they don't want to give of themselves or of their times. And verse 24 says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And listen, what we know is that God has blessed us and ministered to us and gave us his spirit. He goes on in that verse. It says, "and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the spirit which he hath given us." And by the way, he's given us his spirit, and it shows differently from those of the world. And once again, our sermon series is obedience is better than sacrifice. And when God calls us to do what he would have us to do, we need to be obedient to what he is calling us to do. Amen. Guys, I'll just pray. I won't give you the title again, because I gave it to you three times. But one more time for effect. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will touch and bless and minister, Father God, to each and every one within the sound of my voice, Father God. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, and allow these words that you have had me to study throughout this week to be words that will be a blessing to each and every one within the sound of my voice. Father, minister to us, touch us, and bless us. And Father God, do with us as you also need, see the need to be. Father, a special prayer for Ralph or Tex that having surgery tomorrow, Father God. And Lord, we don't know the ins and outs, but we know that he needs your care, your comfort, and Father God, your obedience in regard to going and doing what needs to be done. Father God, work that out. And for each and every one within the sound of my voice, Father God, with whoever's going through whatever they are, that you would touch them and bless them and minister to them and allow these truths to be a blessing and a salve to their heart, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen and amen. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And John writes, "Beloved," and by the way, he's calling believers beloved of God. And he says here, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." And listen, he's talking about folk that come along and they say they belong to the Lord. And listen, we don't need to take anybody on face value or what they say. He's saying try. We weigh them against the truth. And he even tells us why as he continues this verse. He says, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And guys, I take note of that many. And listen, there are more numerous false prophets than there are true prophets. But the kicker is this. The true prophets who are working for God, the true ministers, the true believers that are working for God, though they are not numerously, they're not numerically as numerous as the false ones, they got more power and are stronger and are eternal because they're working for the Lord. He says in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And he's talking about those that are diametrically simply opposed to God, and there are a ton of them, and the only way we know who they are is by the fruits that they give out to the world. Guys, I would ask you to mark your page here, and already Pastor Ralph is going into another book, but we're going to the book of Matthew, and just looking at a few verses there, Matthew chapter 7, and I believe begin my reading at verse 7. And if you're using a Pew Bible, that would be page 834. Matthew, thank you, Lord, chapter 7. And I'm going to begin my reading at verse 7. And I just want to look at something with the many in mind. Chapter 7, verse 7. If you're with me, please say amen. And amen. He says in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And listen, the Lord's speaking here, and he's talking to believers. He's talking to those that have already been blessed with God, blessed of God to be in salvation. And listen, he's saying that, look, as believers, we're following the will of the Lord, and we're talking to him on a regular basis. We're ministering to other folk in regard to him and what he has called us to do. He says in verse 7, and it shall be given unto, he says, "And it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He goes on, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh," look, "findeth." It says, "And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And again, the believer seeking the will of the Lord. Because many times in our lives, guys, we're trying to make decisions. We're trying to figure out, should we go here? Should we take this job? Should we marry this person? Should we go here and talk to this one? Or should we do that? And God says, look, I'm here. And he says, knock. He says, come to me. I will not turn you away. And whatever you need to know, I'll confirm it in your heart. There was a time, a long time ago, when I was trying to decide what me and Selena should do. I didn't know if she was the one. In of myself, I did not. Now, I knew what my desires were, but I still wanted to be within the will of God. And so I asked him on numerous occasions, and I'll never forget one day he touched my heart, man. I heard him speak to my heart, and he told me that she was the one. And guys, I didn't have to try to figure out anything after that. I knew that because he spoke to my heart that she was the one. And listen, there were times when I just couldn't see it, But because he said it, man, we are going to go there and see what the Lord was going to do with that union. And he's done great things. Not just make her my helpmeet, not just make her my mate, but he has made her my ministry partner. And I see how we work together many times without even thinking, without even saying, she'll snatch something right out of my lips and I'll do vice versa to her, because the Lord linked us and works with us in regard to being a ministry partner. And I dare say, not just in marriage, guys, but with everything. Let him give you the information you need and bless your heart so that you can go the right route. Texas getting ready to have surgery. And listen, he had to pick a doctor and even had to actually figure out whether or not he wanted to do this thing. And so when he consoles with the Lord rests in his heart. And though he solicits prayer from the believers, he's confirmed in his heart that he's made the right choice, that he's going the right place, and that the doctor is going to do according to God's will. He's left that in God's hands. And we ought to leave everything in our lives in the hands of the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. It says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He goes on in verse 9, and he's giving us an analogy here. He says, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And of course, a good father would not. But he goes on in verse 11, he says, if ye then being evil, and he's talking about, guys, we all have a sin nature. And he's saying from these fleshly bodies, and we're making decisions and giving to our kids good things. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And the bottom line, or the answer to that is, he will give much more than what an earthly parent would. And many times he'll wait, he'll tarry, and won't come when we want him to. But when he comes, it's going to be more than what we ever expected, because that's the kind of God that we serve. And verse 12, it says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do ye also, or do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And look, he's speaking about good things. He's not talking about something evil, but do good to all men. And the Bible says, and especially to those that are in the household of faith. He goes in verse 13. This is kind of where I wanted to be at. He says, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And it says, and many there be which go thereat. And again, we see the many. And look, we just came out of 1 John, and he was talking about the many false prophets. And we see even that wide gate, the one that's wide open, and there are many, a whole lot of folk that think that that's the way, and we're going to go that way. Guys, we see a lot of entertainers, a lot of Hollywood movie stars, folk that have millions and millions and billions of dollars, and they think that they're living their best life right now. And as they get older, they begin to realize that that money and that life really is not doing it for them. And sometimes they'll start giving money to different charities or start doing something to help a community or try to do this or do that as they're getting older and realize they don't have a lot of time left here on this earth. But again, they chose to go through that wide gate. And as long as they're breathing, look, they still have an opportunity to go through the narrow gate, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But they made their choices for the most part. And they'll depart here. And listen, they'll hold their bodies in state, and folk will come from miles around to worship them, to build them up and say how great they did and how not nice their lives were here on earth. But I dare say, man, if they have chosen that wide gate, it leads to hell, and there are a whole lot of folk that are being funneled into it. And though folk are praising them here on earth, they are being tormented in a godless grave that goes to the pit, and tormented with a whole lot of folk that chose to go through that wide gate because it was easy and because it was fun for them here and it was great for them here, and they could get a lot of money going through that wide gate, and they get 80, 90, 100 years on this side. And by the way, it said the many, and they realized that that money can't buy them one more day on this earth, and it surely cannot buy them happiness. Amen. He says in verse 13, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And again, the many heading to hell, and they don't even realize it. In verse 14, he said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And look what the verse says, "And few there be that find it." And listen, what we know is that the false prophets from 1 John, we get ready to go back there, they're working out of that wide gate, and he's saying this narrow gate, that is straight, hallelujah, as Paul was walking down that street called straight, at that straight street that leads unto Christ, and he says the few will find it, and only those that God has touched their heart in regard to salvation will find it, and will realize that that's the prosperous way to be and to go. Regardless of what the world promises, regardless of what they're showing over here, that the way of Christ is the only way that leads to God and leads to eternal life. He says in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And guys, we need to wake up every morning and thank God that we are one of the few, that we are one of the peculiar people, that he has chosen us to go through that straight gate, and thank God that he's blessed us already into his kingdom. Amen. Flip back to 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 4, look at verse 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye," verse 2 says, "the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh," he says, "is of God." And look, he's saying that in verse 2, but it's not just that they're saying it. Their lives are showing that there's something different about that person, that he's not just telling me he loves Jesus. Man, I look at his life, I see how he's conducting himself. I see him at his job. He is showing me that there's something different, that he knows not just the God of this world, he knows him for who he is, but he knows the God of glory through the finished works of Jesus Christ. I was at a church in New Jersey, and they asked me to be a deacon. And as I was training to be a deacon, I didn't know it. They were going to my job. They were talking to my wife. They were talking to my neighbors and my friends, because they wanted to know if I was who I said I was. They wanted to know if I was who I presented myself as. That I wasn't just putting on airs on Sunday or on Wednesday when I go to Bible study. They wanted to know how I was when I was in the quote-unquote real world. And I suspect they were satisfied because they did call me to that position. But guys, for the believer, for the one who truly says he knows God, that he truly loves him, that he saved him, his life is going to be different. And it's going to be different than those of the world. Man, I think of my life and how I was living, not just me, but me and my wife were living prior to Christ, man. And listen, we were doing everything that we were big enough and bad enough to do. And some of the things we weren't really big enough and bad enough to do, but we did them anyhow. And we weren't caring a whole lot about the God of glory. We weren't really caring about so much about what we looked like to people. But when God got a hold of us and showed enough, saved us and blessed us, man, it was a totally different picture. Couldn't walk that way anymore. Couldn't talk that way anymore. And was mindful of the things of the Lord. And all we wanted was to learn more about him. And the more we learned, the more we realized how out of sorts we were with him. But it took his spirit to get us back in sorts. And he blessed us and began to grow us. And guess what? Some years later, he's still growing us to be like his son. And I thank him for that. He says in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. He goes on, well, ye have heard that it should come. He says, and even now already is in the world. And again, those who are diametrically opposed against God are working out of that same spirit of the Antichrist. And though he won't be shown or named until after the church is gone, we see the influence of him in every aspect of our world, in politics, in world leaders, and listen, in laws that are passed, we see it. And each and every passing day, in fact, as Deacon Frank was saying, each and every passing year that goes by so fast, it gets more and more wicked, and we wonder how much more the Lord's going to allow before he takes us up out of here. But what we know is that while we're here, no matter how wicked it gets, we're still to be about our Father's business. And listen, we don't mount an assault on folk and to move them out of the way. Man, that battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. He says he will repay. He'll recompense. All we need to do is serve him. He has his hedge of protection around us. And look, if it's time for me to go, I'm going to go. But until then, I'm going to do what he calls me to do. And look, when the world says that even in this country that you can no longer name the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we have a choice to make. Who are we going to serve? The world? Or are we going to serve our God? And we need to make up our minds even right now. He says in verse 3, in every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come. And even now, he says, is already in the world. And he goes on, John goes on talking about believers. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because look, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And listen, he's talking about God. Christ is in us via his Holy Spirit that lives in us. And as long as we're obedient to God and to the Lord and to the leading of the Spirit, Satan really can't do anything to us. But many times we get frightful or frightened because those that are against him are more numerous. But man, those who are for him are more powerful. And as long as we stand our ground in Christ, we're going to be okay. I was watching a video the other day.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.